I usually title my messages, and the one I have today is The Need for Growing in the Faith. And when you read in Hebrews 5, verse 11, where this writer, I sometimes almost say Paul, I believe the writer of Hebrews is Paul. I saw another church around here preaching from Hebrews, and they said it's not, and the writer is probably not Paul, and so there are just that many different opinions about it. They're actually in this passage in Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14, there is one more reason why I think that the writer is Paul, but the point of this text, let's read it and then we'll go into it. Hebrews 5 verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray before we continue. Father, I just ask again for your Spirit to open this word to our hearts. Give us light and understanding. Pray you'd give me unction and direction and guide my thoughts and my words. And I ask in Christ's name, amen. It starts in verse 11. What would the part that we're looking at? Well, let's go back to verse 10. It's talking about Jesus, the high priest, and then he says in verse 10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Just before we go on, I want to point out to you in Genesis 14, where it talks about Melchizedek, I learned something very interesting that I had never thought of before. And that is in Genesis 14, verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. What is interesting to me here is that the high priest of that time, they would be offering up animals as a sacrifice, and Melchizedek, it says, brought forth bread and wine. And you think about Jesus, he shed his blood and his body was broken, and then he said, take eat of this bread, and it was symbolizing his body, and the cup, the wine, was symbolizing his blood. And already Melchizedek in Genesis 14:18 says that he brought forth bread and wine. It is very interesting to me because Christ, being after called after the order of Melchizedek, how that bread and wine was already brought to the picture in Melchizedek. And then Jesus was the one who fulfilled that and who completed that. So Christ was called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then it's speaking of Christ as being a type of high priest after Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. So this writer had many things to say about Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but it seems like we're being not given all that he had to say, because he says, we have many things to say, but they're hard to be uttered. Why? Are they things that can't be explained or things that the writer cannot understand? No. He says, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. See, here's the problem. When you try to explain something to someone and you realize that they're just not grasping a thing of what you're saying, you don't feel like talking to them any further, right? You try to explain to them how an engine works and you realize that they have zero interest at all. And when you talk about the piston, they think about a muffler and they don't even want to listen what it is. Then, why continue to explain what the engine is, right? Well, this writer here is in a similar way saying that we have many things to say of Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but it's hard because you are dull of hearing. You're not hearing what we're saying. And then he goes on from there, and this is where we get into the need for growing in the faith. He is in essence rebuking the Hebrews who he's writing to, because they have been believers for a good while, but they now have need to be taught the principles, the elementary principles, the first principles of Christ. Because of why? And we'll look at that. Why is a person a believer but doesn't grow, just remain basically in one place? And we find that here in the text. When we look at, he says, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles, or of the word, or the principles of God. When for the time you ought to be teachers. Then we might think of, well, James it says that there should not be many teachers among us. James 3 verse 1 says, My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. My brethren, be not many teachers, be not many masters. So what is the writer of Hebrews saying then when he says, you ought to be teachers? Is he just speaking to just a select few people because there should only be few teachers? No, I believe every Christian should be a teacher. Here's the thing though. James speaks of more than just teaching others. I believe James also teaches about being elders or teachers in the church. Not everyone can be an elder in the church. Not everyone should be an elder in the church or a teacher that is appointed by God to teach the word. However, believers are told to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That is not something that is just to the elders or just to a select few in the church. So when we see that and we look at that, and also we think about even like Titus 2 verse 3 and 4 where it says the older woman should teach the younger woman. It tells us exactly what they should teach them. It says in Titus chapter 2, Titus 2 verse 3, the aged woman likewise that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There's a purpose that for the older woman to teach the younger woman. And here's the thing. Everyone has a purpose. Every believer has a purpose to teach someone else. It is not about being an elder or a pastor in the church. This is about our responsibility to tell others about Christ, and to tell others about the gospel, about God, about the word of God, about holiness, about righteousness, about what is true. It is our responsibility when something wrong goes on and we are in the middle of it or we are involved with it to then bring the truth of God to that situation and say, this is wrong, you need to do what is right. That is teaching. And so, this is not saying that they should all be elders by now, but it is simply saying they should have the ability to teach. Why do they not have the ability to teach? Later in verse 14, it says those who have grown and who can take strong meat, it says that they can discern both good and evil. They can discern good and evil. There are things sometimes where there is a mixture and we have to discern what is good and evil. For example, in Matthew 4 verse 6, we have about Satan quoting scriptures to Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. Why? Was the scripture evil? No, the scripture is not evil, but if you use it in a wrong way, then it is evil. Because you make it evil. Not because God made the scripture wrong or evil or anything, but the scripture is now used and in a wrong way. It is misapplied and it is used to try to deceive. And so to have discernment of good and evil, you have to recognize that even when there is scripture coming, who is bringing it and why are they bringing it and for what? When Satan said to Jesus, jump down from the top of this temple because God's word says that he will send his angels to catch you so that you won't hurt your foot. Was that what the scripture meant? That we should go climbing trees and climbing towers and jumping down because God would send his angels to catch us? No, Jesus wouldn't do it because Satan was tempting him and then using a scripture out of context. It is not God's plan for us to tempt him. And that's what Jesus said. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Going and climbing on the mountaintop and jumping down, that is tempting God. That is not what the scripture says, that God will send his angels to catch us. Yeah, he could. Sure, he could. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So we have to learn to discern both good and evil. And we also see in this passage that you cannot teach others until you have understood the basic principles. So you can hear the basic principles of Christ, that he came to this earth, he was righteous, he was God and man, he died, he was buried, he rose again. And you need to understand and believe that to an extent. You need to believe that to be saved. However, you have to understand those basics before you can go on to more. In chapter 6, we'll look more at after we have the foundation, which verse 1 says, it goes on from what we're looking at today, and it says, leaving the principles. Now we know about the principles, the basic things of Christ. Now, leaving them or going on from them, we go upward to grow. Leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on till we know more and more about Christ. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Yes. When you're dead in sin, you have dead works, you have self-righteousness, and so on. The foundational truth is that you need to repent and turn to Christ. And so after you've gotten that, and you have trusted in Christ, and you have understood repentance and faith toward God, you don't continue laying the same foundation over and over again, but let us leave and let us go on unto the go on unto perfection, And then of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We will look more at that next week, Lord willing, but it puts more elementary things, more basic things, but also to go on from the basic things. And then he says, and this we will do, this will we do if God permit. So what we see in chapter 5 is that this writer is rebuking the Hebrews for remaining in one place. We hear sometimes that a believer cannot remain in one place. Either they're backing up or they're growing. And I think there's a truth to that. If you just stay sitting in one place, you don't exercise your mind with the truth. You don't live out the truth, but you just sit around and do nothing. Then it starts to become dull. It starts to become, you feel like you already know it. You don't need to know it any further or any more. And that's what it tells us here. How a believer who can take strong meat, how they have gotten there. It actually tells us here. We'll get to that soon. But also along the same line with being teachers, it says that, as I already explained, that in one sense there should not be many teachers, in the other sense every Christian should be a teacher. But also like 1 Timothy 3:6 says, it makes it clear, a new believer should not be an elder, should not be a pastor, lest they would be puffed up and for their own condemnation or for their own detriment. It should not be new believers. So to get this in the right context of what it means to be teacher, this writer is saying that by this time, it's been a while, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God. If we look at the book of Hebrews, it is coming to the Hebrews with the message of, are you going to go back to the law under Moses, or are you going to look to Christ and trust Him? And I think that is why he has this section in here as well. They have become dull of hearing because they are thinking of going back to the law, where they would try to keep all the 600 plus commandments and try to get their righteousness from God by keeping all those commandments. He says, we have many things to say, but we can't say them because you're dull of hearing. When the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We can understand this in physical terms. A little baby, you don't give a little baby meat to eat. They cannot chew it. They cannot swallow it. They cannot digest it. They don't have teeth. They can't chew it. If they try to swallow it, they will choke up. And even if they get a little bit bigger, if they can swallow it, they might vomit it out again because they cannot digest it. That is clear to us. They have to grow and then they can start eating solid foods and they can start eating meat. It takes some time. That is completely normal. In 1 Peter 2, it says that newborn babes should desire the sincere milk of the word. It is not saying that as soon as you're a new believer, you should now be eating strong meat, or that you could be eating strong meat. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3 says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, I want you to notice something fundamental here. He is talking in the context of newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, and he is saying, laying aside malice, guile, being mad at others for nothing, malice, guile, hypocrisy. You say one thing and you do another. Envies, you're envious of what somebody else has or does. And all evil speaking as newborn babes. It is implying for us here that that is what the newborn babes in Christ should be doing. First of all, lay aside all those things which would trouble you. Malice, guile, hypocrisy, envies, all evil speaking. Put that aside and desire the sincere milk of the Word. That is the basic. That is the first step in the Christian life. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The milk is not if you're eating the milk that you will always be eating the milk until one day God drops a piece of meat and says, okay, now here's the meat. No, you will grow just like a little baby. Eats milk, grows up, starts eating a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more solid. It says that you may grow thereby. By these basic principles, you begin to learn how to overcome sin, overcome temptation when you're tempted, to overcome it so you don't sin. Laying aside these basic things that everyone naturally has issues with, and desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's where it all starts. When you taste that the Lord is gracious, when you taste God's grace for you, that is where it begins. And so that shows us what it takes to grow, is to actually eat the milk. But then it also goes on and tells us more about what it is whereby we can grow. It says here in verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Okay, let's look at the first part first. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That makes it sound like, well, we gotta first get to 50 or 60 and then we can eat strong milk. Then we can eat strong meat. But that's actually not what full age really means here. Full age is the same word that in other places is translated perfect or mature or finished. You become perfect, mature, and finished when you get over the early part or the early stage of Christian life where you eat milk. The Bible talks about being perfect as God is perfect. In one sense, that just simply means we become more like Him. Not we desire to, but we actually do become more like Him. We talk about perfect in the sense of you do everything right, you never sin. The Bible talks about perfect as in the sense of us becoming like Christ. We will not become 100% complete or 100% like Christ before we go to be with Him. However, we become perfect and complete in that sense that I believe it is talking about here when we grow. When we no longer do what 1 Peter 2 talked about, where we have malice and envy and those things dominating our life, then we do become of full age in this sense. This doesn't have an age set to it where full age is 55. That's not what this is. Strong meat belongs to them. You cannot eat strong meat before you can handle it. There's no way. And so, even like Paul said to the Corinthians, he said that I have fed you with milk and not with meat because you were not able to bear it. Sometimes we need to be discerning if we can already eat meat, we already can take the bigger doctrines of the scripture and not vomit them up right away, not be offended right away, but actually go and study them out and learn and pray about it and seek the truth. When we can do those things, we got to even have discernment like Paul to know how much we can dump on somebody else. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just simply, I've seen sometimes, and I've done it myself in the past, where someone might be a new believer and you tell them all the big truths of Scripture and they get offended. They even cut you off. I think sometimes we got to be careful because they don't necessarily can eat the strong meat and the big doctrines of the Scripture right away. You got to start slow and see, do they really understand the gospel? Do they really understand the basic? Christ died for their sin. Christ rose again. Those basics, do they understand it? And then feed them some milk. See how they're taking it. Can they take milk? Because only a believer, in this sense that we're talking about, only a believer can eat milk. An unbeliever doesn't even eat milk. They got to first be born again so that they can eat milk. So you got to feed them some, give them some milk and see if they can digest it, and then give them a little bit more. See how far they've grown. If you don't know them, you got to first find out before you dump out everything to them. I believe the Bible teaches that. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat." Listen, look here. Paul's not saying, "I gave you meat and you couldn't handle it, so I'm back to milk." He says, "No, I fed you with milk and not with meat." It's because that's what he started with. But now he's saying, "For up to here, you were not able to bear it." He could recognize that they could not take the meat. And even now he says, "You are not able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" See, that sounds very much like what we were reading in 1 Peter 2. Lay aside malice, envy. And then here he says, "You are carnal. There's among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" A believer can be carnal if they are still a babe and they haven't grown much. They cannot yet take strong meat. They can be carnal for a while. See, there's this whole doctrine of carnal Christianity where you can go and live in sin and but you're still a Christian because you prayed a sinner's prayer, or you did something the church told you to do, but now you go out into the world and you live like the devil. You live in sin, and some people will call you a carnal Christian. Now, that is false. That is not what the Bible ever teaches. But look at what it teaches here. He's saying to them, "I, brethren," he's talking to them as brethren, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He's saying, "I have to look at you as carnal and as babes in Christ." He's not saying, "I have to look at you as carnal unbelievers." No, he's saying, "I'm looking at you as carnal baby believers." They are still fleshly. They're not, they have not grown out of this initial baby stage yet. And so he's saying they have envying and strife and divisions, and that is carnal. They need to get out of that, get over that, get on and grow with the milk, not stay in one place. He's saying, some say, "I am of Paul," another, "I am of Apollos." Are ye not carnal? Isn't that fleshly? Do you not understand that it is all of God? We are co-laborers. He says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." I believe they understood the gospel. He is speaking to them as if they had understood the gospel. But they were very carnal. They were not yet growing like he wanted them to grow. And so he is writing to them to help them to grow. Today, we have all of the New Testament as well, which they did not have back then. And I believe this helps us to grow. When we read this, it helps us to grow. We see that, oh, we have not been living like we should, like Christ wants us to. We should change so that we can grow. I also don't think that a believer will remain carnal all their life. But then again, like the thief on the cross, became a believer and then died. So who are we to say exactly what God's timing is or exactly how long someone will remain carnal? But we gotta bring the gospel to people and gotta bring them the milk of the word and make sure that they get it, that they get the gospel, even if they're a little bit carnal. Sometimes it's a bit hard to get along with people who are carnal. But unity is what God commands. We gotta have unity. We gotta work on unity. Sometimes it's hard work, but it is our responsibility to do that work. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 6. Paul also says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 6, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He's saying that we speak the wisdom of God to them that are perfect. So you have people, you have unbelievers say, oh, so you're perfect. God gives you His wisdom because you're perfect. Again, we gotta look at the biblical definition. We become perfect when we become more like Christ. It is not, the definition is not that we are completely without sin. The definition is that we become more complete. We grow. That is the definition, I believe, here. Because we know in Romans 7, Paul himself says that I want to do a thing and then I do something else. I don't want to do it and that is exactly what I do. That he is putting that out as a struggle of the flesh against the spirit. That is a real thing. The spirit itself cannot sin, but we still have our flesh with us that will sin. But we gotta grow. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe that signs that someone cannot eat strong meat is that they get offended at the meat of Scripture. You might be able to give them the basic principles of Christ and they will have a joy, but you begin giving them strong meat and they'll become offended because they first have to grow. And now we'll get to in a little bit, how can we grow? I believe once they are more mature, which it talks about here, to become perfect, to become complete, to become of full age, then they can take things that they don't like right away or that they don't agree with right away, and then they can wrestle with those things. They can wrestle with the things that they don't believe. Like, oh, that sounds strange to me. I don't think that's true, but let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me read the Bible and think about this thing because maybe I'm wrong, right? And then there's other things we've already heard and we know, no, that's wrong. But when we hear something that we can't take, it takes some maturity to be able to take it and discern it and see, is it true or is it false? And then we want to look at how does someone grow. It says here in verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So who can eat strong meat? The one who has used his senses, his thinking process, and has exercised it to discern both good and evil. How is that being done? Well, I believe, first of all, it is by obeying God and following His commands. First of all, to be assembling with believers, to be taking time in the Word of God, to be taking time in prayer. I believe taking time in the Word of God and taking time in prayer is often should go together, does go together. But by putting them to use, by putting the things of God and the things that God calls us to do into use, to do them. Even to go and preach the gospel to others, preach the gospel to every creature. That is a part of exercising. To those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We know that if you want to lift heavy weights, you have to start with smaller weights. You have to start lifting. You have to push it a little bit. And then you have to do a little heavier ones. And then take time. It'll take weeks and months and years. And you'll be able to lift more, way more than you knew you could, than you felt like you could. Because you're exercising your muscles. The same applies in a spiritual sense where we can grow by exercising that which we have learned, that which we know, and going out and using it. And then it says to have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I already gave you an example about discernment, but it is those things that are unclear, or for example, where the scripture comes in and Satan uses scripture and it's wrong, so you don't do it because he's taking it out of context, it's evil. It is easy for babes, as it says here, babes in Christ, it is easy for them to fall for half lies. And that is why when we have the truth and we begin to exercise it, then God will grow us. God will grow us in the truth. And it's just as dangerous or more dangerous to get those half-truths and half-lies than it is to get an outright lie. Because people may recognize when it's an outright lie. But when there's a little bit of truth mixed with it, then they might just take it all and take it as a truth. And so, to exercise the truth that we have and that we know, and to use it and to bring it, even to bring it to others, that helps us to grow and to grow even in other things than those things themselves. One more verse in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." This is in the same principle. You know, you hear profane or old wives' fables, which is just somebody's made-up stories about things. You can waste your energy thinking about those things. What does Paul say? Refuse them. Don't even give them entertainment for those things. Don't waste your time with such garbage. This is what he's saying. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. And do what? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. How do you do that? Spend time with other believers. Read the Bible and pray. And again, the truth that you already know, go and exercise it. Do it. Use it. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You're doing something that is questionable or that is wrong. change it and do what is right. That is exercising godliness. And then he continues on and he says, for bodily exercise profits little. In the eternal realm of things, you can exercise all your bodily muscles, become a strong man and run fast. But that profits little. Godliness is profitable unto all things. The bodily exercise, yeah, it profits a little bit. But godliness profits everything. That is profitable unto all things. So take care of your body. Take care of your life and so on. But make sure that you grow in godliness. That whatever is true, right, honorable, think on those things. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I want to just read Philippians 4. Yet again, in the same idea of how do we grow, and that we don't just take up all the junk that the world wants to give to us. And it says, Philippians 4 verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is how we grow, is by following Christ, exercising ourselves unto godliness, rejecting profane and false old wives' fables, as he says, as Paul says to Timothy, reject those things and follow after godliness, follow after truth, follow after Christ, and you will grow. Take what you have, take those little truths that you have and grow on them. Learn and grow from them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. I pray that you would use it effectually in your people. And even if there's any who do not believe, Lord, that they would see the big difference between life and death, between the unbelieving life and the believing life. And Lord, you just give them such a big desire for that which you give, that peace and joy and understanding that you give, that they would seek and come to you for it, Lord. Truly, they would come, and that you would keep your promise and give it. We know you will, and we thank you. And we pray again, Lord, for your blessing on each one who came today and our families. Pray you'll be with them, grow them in grace and in the knowledge of your truth, and even in our obedience to you, God, you would grow us by your grace. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. I'll just read Ephesians 6, the last some verses, last two verses. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.